So for this week and next week, we'll be looking at church roles, not R-O-L-L-S, but R-O-L-E-S, church roles. And so today we're going to be looking at the role of deacon, and next week we'll look at the role of elder. Churches, if you go and look at any church in Hong Kong or anywhere around maybe the nation that you're from, you'll have all kinds of leadership structures in churches. You can just think now about maybe the church that you grew up in. What was the leadership structure like? What were the people called who were serving or leading? Some churches have a church staff only. Some churches have senior pastors and lead pastors and executive pastors. Some churches have bishops. Some churches have, and they're comfortable using the word bishop. Some churches are not comfortable using the word bishop. Popes and cardinals and elders and apostles. And some churches have a presbytery, and some churches have a synod. Some churches have what's called a lead strategist. And some churches have simply a leadership committee. All churches have some kind of roles and some kind of leadership structure or structure that people lead or serve in. But here at the first of the year, I think it'd be good for us to find out how churches in the New Testament organize themselves and look again why we use the terms that we use for leadership roles in the church. So to find the answers, we really want to turn to the Bible and simply ask the question, what roles does the Bible have? So let's pray and we'll talk about one of those roles. Lord, thank you for countless deacons and we've had in this church over the years before even I came, people who served in leading, organizing other people to serve, leading out and serving. Thank you, Lord, for the deacons that you've used here in the life of this church to grow this church. Thank you for our current deacons, and thank you for all that they do, and thank you, Lord, for those who are deacons and deaconesses in our church now that aren't even recognized as such, but serve and lead in serving in so many areas. Lord, we pray that you will so orchestrate the gifts and structures of our church in such a way that this church has going forward, has a lot of deacons, deaconesses serving, and more elders. We pray, Lord, that you'll work that out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the point that I really want to show us in the next 2 weeks is that there are two types of leadership roles established by the apostles in the churches of the New Testament, and those are these. Next week we'll look at elders, also called pastors or shepherds, and also called overseers. Those are synonymous terms. And today, deacons. Surely many of us have all kinds of ideas and images of deacons. I mentioned to you before that I grew up in a church that was called the First Baptist Church of our city. And if you know much in America about First Baptist churches, those are usually really big and really wealthy and kind of like the biggest church in town. And so I grew up in a church of a few thousand people and remember our deacons quite well. As a child, I remembered I was quite intimidated by our deacons because before the pastor would preach, the organ would play, and the deacons would come walking in suits with a tie And they seemed very, like very important people, which they were. And they would sit down on the front row, and the pastor would come in lastly, and he would sit in a chair. And I was always a little bit scared of those guys. They were all business leaders in the community, and they all seemed to be quite well off. That church that I used to be a part of, eventually the one pastor that was there after I came back after seminary, they fired the pastor, those deacons, because he really challenged them to come to Monday night visitation, to go out and knock on doors and visit people, and they didn't like that, so they fired the pastor. I will say one of those deacons discipled me. One of those deacons, when I was a 14-year-old boy, my dad passed away. One of those deacons took me in and became like a father to me. So I'm forever grateful for those deacons in our church. But we all have ideas of maybe what deacons do. What are deacons? And what roles are they supposed to play? And where does the ministry of deacons come from? Well, it comes from the Bible. So we better know what it means, right? So in Acts chapter 6, the first thing that we see is somewhat the prototype of deacons coming into being, and it arises because of a problem, because of a complaint. So let's look in Acts chapter 6 in verse 1. Now in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So there's a problem in this passage. The problem that arises is the church is growing. It's a good problem to have usually, right? The church is growing. That's the problem that they have. And they're experiencing growth pains. And the issue arises because of a bit of growth and an ethno-linguistic divide. There are Jews who have come from both the Greek-speaking world and Jews who, from really the heart of Israel, the Hebrew speakers. That's what Hellenists means. Helena is literally Greece. So these Hellenists are Jews who have not grown up in Israel, but in other parts of the Mediterranean. We'll remind you that Paul himself was a Jew from where? Cilicia in Tarsus, right? So he's from a city in Tarsus, which is in Turkey, from the province of Cilicia. And Barnabas also is from Cyprus. So these are Jews. Paul and Barnabas are not even Jews who grew up right in the heart of Jerusalem, but are Greek-speaking Jews. Mind you that Paul is pretty serious about his Jewishness, as you remember he said. But some of these Jews did not speak Hebrew very well and culturally lived a little bit more like Greeks. As an example, there are Chinese people around the world, right? Chinese people are scattered around the world. Southeast Asia, there are Chinese in Indonesia and in Malaysia and Cambodia and Chinese in Thailand and Chinese all over the world. But not all Chinese would be exactly the same, would they? Speak a little bit different dialects, speak a little bit different languages, some different culture. And so people have come to faith from different groups, even though they're Jews, they're from different areas, and maybe they're just a little bit different, right? So what happens is that the people who are in charge of making sure that these widows are being taken care of, we don't necessarily know whether it's money or food or both. It seems to be food because they mention the word tables. It seems that they're only taking care of their own. The Hebrews are taking care of culturally their own Hebrews widows. And the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking widows who have come to faith, are being left out. They're being overlooked. Maybe it's due to not enough manpower. Maybe it's due to language or just an ethnic oversight, but it's causing disunity in the body. So there's a complaint from one group against another. And this isn't good. Things can get out of hand, and so it needs to be fixed. So that's the problem, and the solution is for some men to serve. That's the solution. The word comes to the apostles, and in verse 2, this is the solution. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples, and they said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And these they set before the apostles, and they prayed, they laid their hands on them. So this complaint comes to the apostles. It seems that they need to solve it. They went all the way to the disciples and said, "You guys need to solve this problem." And they didn't solve it by doing it themselves, but they actually said, strong words, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God," to literally what they say is to deacon tables, to serve tables. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the deaconing of the word." So here there's two types of service going on. There's the deaconing of tables, or the serving of tables, they say, and then they will devote themselves to the service or the ministry, same word, of the word. This is the beginning, it seems, or the root in the scriptures of two offices, two roles in the church, a prototype, a division between serving the church through preaching and teaching the word in prayer, and serving the church in practical hands-on ways. Both of those are needed in the church. So here we have the apostles, the 12, and then the seven men at this point in Acts 6. Later on, though, as I'll show you, these two offices will become elders, overseers, pastors, and deacons. Right? Ministry to the word, ministry in practical areas. Now, let me just pause for a second and say that doesn't mean there's not some bleed over between the two. Okay? Stephen was ministering the word very powerfully, right? He's the first martyr, and that doesn't mean that the elders don't need to do any service in practical ways. But primarily, we have these two roles. Let me show you Philippians 1:1. This is the very first verse. This is why I've said this so many times. Don't skip over the very first parts of the Bible in letters. Don't skip over the introductions, and don't skip over the closings, because they show us things. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. This word "servant" here is slaves, doulos, okay? Servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints. The saints would be all of the church in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi or Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons. So we see in this church, in the early church already, Paul is writing to the church, and he's saying to all the saints, he's writing to the whole church, but the church has overseers and deacons. Philippians 1:1. Now, we know that in other places, like 1 Timothy chapter 3, there are qualifications for both. We'll look at next week. In verses 1 to 7 are qualifications for elders or overseers. And then verses 8 to 13 are qualifications for deacons. So they're both there in 1 Timothy. And even it lays out, these are the qualifications for each. Titus 1, 5 through 9, and 1 Peter also give us qualifications and instructions for elders. But let's just look. I think it would be good for us to read the qualifications for deacons. Cameron's a brand new deacon, not brand new, but pretty new deacon, right? So we're continuously having deacons who rotate off and deacons who rotate on in our church. And we're still in need to continue to build on these structures. 1 Timothy 3:8-13, deacons likewise is referring to the elders in before, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, not sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So those are qualifications for deacons. That's the only list of qualifications as a list that we have for deacons. Let me say that the list, the qualifications for elders and deacons are very similar. Very similar. One of the clear distinctions that we see for elders or overseers and deacons in the church in this passages is that elders are required to be able to teach and to know the Word of God well enough to refute bad doctrine and to teach good doctrine. That's not required of deacons. But they're very similar. And most of these qualifications you see for deacons, if you look, are mentioned in other parts of the Bible that all Christians are supposed to have these. Right? So it's not like they're super people. It just means that they're leading out and serving in various areas. And all of us are supposed to be blameless and right, have a clear conscience and not greedy for dishonest gain. So these fit every believer. But specifically, we have qualifications for these roles. So there's a need for people in the church to serve in practical ways. The apostles said that they can't do it because they have another area to serve in. So the church chose amongst themselves, notice the apostles did not choose. The church chose the seven people and to serve in this deacon-like role. And everybody said it's a great idea. And the church did well. Let's just look. I want to give us three ways that we see in this passage that the ministry of deacons benefits the church. Now, there are other ways, okay? But just from this text, I want to look at three ways that deacons benefit the church. Number one, serving in practical ways, I already mentioned. So the word deacon is not an English word. We borrow that word from the Greek, literally, diakonia or diakonos, all right? So serving or servant. That's what it means. Deacon means servant. So where maybe in your church deacon meant powerful leader, that's not what the word means. It means servant. It's a very common word used in many different ways, originally meant either to wait tables, like a waiter, or running errands. Look at all the ways in the Bible that the word deacon is used. Government, in Romans 13, the government is called a deacon. God's deacon in the world. Okay? Caring for physical needs, people are called deacons. In Matthew 25, Acts 11, Acts 12, Romans 15. So women were deaconing in the Gospels, in Matthew 8 and Matthew 27, serving the church. Romans 16, a sister, Phoebe, is called a deacon. Hebrews 1, angels are called deaconing. Angels are ministering, right, to those who will inherit eternal life. Angels are called deacons. Jesus is called a deacon. Romans 15, 8. Paul and his workers are called deacons. Old Testament prophets are called deacons. And even Satan himself in 2 Corinthians 11, 15 has his deacons. So it's a common word used in many, many different ways. In Acts 6, these deacons, this prototype of a deacon, are not called deacons, but they are deaconing. The word serving is used, but not called deacons as a title. So that's why we think this is the official beginning role of deacons in Acts 6, serving in practical ways. Deacons making sure the church has all the widows taken care of and are not overlooked. It's very practical. They aren't necessarily doing all the work, but they are making sure that the work is done. That's very important. All of the church is supposed to be serving. It's just that deacons are serving in such a way that they're leading the church to make sure that service is done. Does that make sense? Leading and serving. Everybody serves. So there are 1,000 different ways someone could serve as a deacon. We'll look at that later. But the fundamental purpose of deacons is leading in serving in a practical way in the body. So practical ways, the second purpose that deacons have in this passage is serving to unify. Serving to unify. These 7 deacons are not just serving to make sure the widows are fed and taken care of. There's something deeper going on here. Ethnic disunity is happening between the Hebrews and the Hellenists, and the deacons are solving that problem. All 7 of the deacons listed in Acts 6 are Greek names. And they're chosen, it seems, from amongst the Greek speakers to make sure the Hellenists are taken care of. And they're working alongside those. You remember, there's some Hebrews that are being taken care of, and the Hellenists are left out. So there's some Hebrew deacons that are already doing that for the Hebrews, but not for the Hellenists. So they choose 7 Greek speakers to work alongside of the Hebrew speakers. And there's a big group of deacons working together in ethnic unity. So they're serving in a practical way. They're acting as unifiers in the body by making sure that everyone is cared for. So you can see how that might apply in an international church. In an international church of many languages, or maybe some churches have 2 languages or 3 languages, there's always going to need to be some kind of deacon ministry that's meeting the needs of various ethnic groups for linguistic sake alone, but to unify the body. So they are unifiers, they are strengthening the church by serving, and they're building up with their gifts. So they serve in practical ways, And they serve in such a way that they unify the church. But thirdly, they're serving to support the ministry of the Word of God. They're serving to support the ministry of the Word. The apostles make it very clear that they have a deaconing to do. It's a deaconing of the Word. A serving to do. And that's a serving the Word of God and prayer. And the apostles say that they are not able to teach, preach, and pray if they're making sure the widows have food that they need. So the seven deacons, if you will, are coming alongside of them, two different roles, to take up this ministry so that the ministry of the Word is not hindered, and it would be hindered if the apostles are having to serve in the bread ministry. But since the seven serve in this practical ways, the apostles are freed up to serve in the ministry of the Word. Think about it. The gospel was able, in some sense, to move forward from Jerusalem because those seven deacons were taking care of people in the church. So they were actually doing their part in the kingdom of God. What was the effect of this division of duties? Ministry of the Word, ministry of tables. What was the effect? Notice at the beginning of the chapter, it says, "Now in those days when the disciples were increasing in number." And then verse 7, at the end, it says, "And the Word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Bookends. On one end, it says the church is increasing, but because of the ministry of these deacons, the Word of God continued to increase and spread. How? Because the Word of God was going out through the apostles as people inside the church were being cared for in practical ways by the deacons. Some application for us. I'm sure you can think of all kinds of ways to apply this. But God has designed the church in such a way that every believer has a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts, and every believer has a way that they can serve. So all of us are supposed to be serving without trying to be in any way like too direct. Let me just say this. There's no place in the local church for that category of person that doesn't do anything. You know? That doesn't exist. Everybody has gifts that need to be used in the church. But some people who meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 serve as deacons and deaconesses. Now, I'm using the masculine and the feminine. In the Scripture, it's actually just called deacons. But I want to emphasize that. They serve in practical ways, serving to unify, strengthen the body, serve in supporting the ministry of the Word. So, let me say this kind of summary slowly. You might say, deacons lead and mobilize the congregation in serving. Deacons lead and mobilize the congregation in serving so that the elders can serve the church in teaching and preaching the Word of God, devoting themselves to prayer, and equipping the saints for the work of ministry. So for sure, we as a body are constantly in need of people at CBIBC to serve in practical ways. We need to expand the number of biblical deacons and deaconesses, even as we seek to have elders. Now, next week we'll talk about elders. That process has been on hold in many ways, because in many ways I didn't feel like it was a great time during the pandemic to, when we're like online at Resurrection Church back at Clearwater Bay, online Resurrection Church back at Clearwater Bay, to try to do that. Hopefully in the future that will happen. So let me give you some ministry areas, very practical today, right now, that we need people to serve. We need the saints to serve in these areas. Some of these areas that I'm going to list and things that I will mention already have a deacon or a deaconess that's leading and serving in those areas. Now, before I give you the list, let me say, not everybody thinks that women can serve as deacons. I think the Scripture is clear. Phoebe was a deacon. I think it's clear that the role of serving and leading out and serving in the church includes women. Okay? As a deaconess, if that role is a role of obviously serving as a deacon or deaconess in the church. Let me give you some ministry areas that we always need people to serve in. Welcome ministry, people to serve as ushers, people to welcome people downstairs on the ground. We've always needed someone who would be willing to be down at the gate for those new people who come in who don't know where to go to find the right stairwell, to be able to greet them. There's all kinds of ways that we need help in welcome ministry. Children's ministry, Janice is already leading as a deaconess in that area, but definitely needs help. People serving in children's ministry. Putonghua outreach, youth ministry. We don't have a youth ministry. Putonghua outreach always needs people to serve. Music and media team. We already have Jess and Cameron leading that, but always needing people to serve in soundboard and recording, computer, slides, editing the sermon each week, shrinking it down, saving it as an MP3, sending it to the website team so they can upload it to the website. Missions, evangelism, Sunday setup. We already need a person every week who will say, I will be the Sunday setup deacon. Not that you will set it all up, but that you will say, I will take it upon myself to make sure I've got some people and we'll make sure everything is set up. Lord's Supper, baptism, ordinances, blowing up the swimming pool, making sure the cups and the Lord's Supper is all done, offering counters, member care, helping with the website, fellowship meals, and on and on it goes. The bulletin. I do the bulletin. It'd be great if somebody could do the bulletin. Actually fill in all the information, copy it, print it, send it to the printer, whatever, cut them in half, or we'll move to a digital bulletin. You can do a digital bulletin. But we need that to be done. And a lot of other areas where you might be gifted by the Lord to lead and serve. Quickly, let me just say, no one may ever know what you do. It occurred to me that all of these names, most of these names in Acts chapter 6, you don't know who they are and we've never heard of them. Philip, we've heard of. Stephen, we've heard of. The rest of them, total strangers. Never mentioned again in the Bible. We don't know what they did. We don't know who they are, where they came from, all these kinds of things. And they were just somebody on the line, the blimp of history. And they served, and their reward is in heaven. So everybody should serve somewhere, but some are called out from the church to serve, lead out in serving as deacons or deaconesses. So a question to ask you as you depart today, where should you be serving in the church? Where should you be serving? Maybe you have something on your heart in a way that you'd like to serve. Maybe we don't have that ministry yet. Something that we should talk about. Well, praise be to God that we have the ability to serve. And thankfully, He allows us to be a part of what He's doing. We are co-laborers with Him. Let's pray together. Lord, you know these aren't the most glamorous of messages, but thank you that your word is very practical. You give us even qualifications and lists in 1 Timothy of what deacons are supposed to be and what elders are supposed to be. Lord, I pray that you will continue to build in our church a healthy, robust, organized deacon ministry that's clicking on all cylinders in such a way that every area of the church is covered and no one is neglected. Lord, forgive us for our shortcomings. We don't pretend to personally or corporately to have done everything perfectly, but we need your help, Lord. We want to honor you. We want to do what's right and good. So we pray for your help. We pray, Lord, that you will build deeper and wider the ministry of deacons and the ministry of elders in this congregation. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.